Are you having difficulty reading the newspaper? Are you experiencing severe vision loss? Or do you know someone who is? If you answer yes to any of these questions, then the American Council of the Blind can help you. We are blind and visually impaired people from every walk of life who work together to enhance our lives. For more information or a membership application, call 800-424-8666 or contact us online at www.acb.org. The American Council of the Blind, forging new frontiers for our future.
ACB Radio is brought to you by the American Council of the Blind. ACB, the people that bring you ACB Radio.
ACB Radio is proud to present Cooking Without Looking. This is the audio soundtrack from the TV shows which have been recently aired in North America by some public broadcast television stations. ACB Radio is grateful to Renee Rentmeester, producer of Cooking Without Looking, for allowing us to use this audio. If you would like information and strategies for contacting your own local public television station to request that they air upcoming seasons of Cooking Without Looking, give Renee Rentmeester a call. Her telephone number is 888-290-7005. And now, on to Cooking Without Looking, right here on ACB Radio Main Street.
This is Cooking Without Looking, the first television show produced especially for people who are blind and visually impaired.
Fantastic welcome, and thank you for tuning to Cooking Without Looking, the very first television show especially designed for people who are totally blind or severely visually impaired. My name is Alan Preston. And Celia, do you happen to notice anything a little extra special in the air today?
Yes, I do, Alan. Today marks our first anniversary of the first taping of Cooking Without Looking.
It is the first anniversary of the Cooking Without Looking show, the first cooking show to help people who are blind and visually impaired learn how to cook, have fun, and at the same time be safe in the kitchen. And today's show is no exception.
Ladies, we have a fantastic treat today. I will be working in the kitchen with a licensed mental health counselor who has got a fantastic and quick and easy jalapeno bean dip that's sure to open up your sinuses.
Ooh, Alan, and that's not the whole enchilada. I will be making a homemade chicken tostada dish.
And in Food for Thought, I will be interviewing three special guests who have a very rare eye disease that can be helped with stem cell transplants. And in some cases, vision can be restored.
For those of you who have been tuning to us for a whole year now, you know that all of us who appear on camera, including our guests, are either totally blind or severely visually impaired.
Well, Annette and Alan, let's get started now with our very first anniversary show of Cooking Without Looking. Salud y pesetas.
And bon appetit.
Cheers. Welcome back to Cooking Without Looking. Today we have with us Flora Marie Del Cueto, right?
That's it.
Flora is a licensed counselor, mental health counselor. Flora, would you like to tell us a little bit about what your job involves?
I'm a psychotherapist. I work with families and couples. I do a lot of work with post-trauma and with children.
Do you work with people with disabilities?
I work with I have some clients that are blind. I have some people that are in wheelchairs. But primarily I do marriage and family therapy.
Now, you have a eye disorder called retinitis pigmentosa, right? That's a hard word to pronounce.
Yes.
Would you tell us a little bit about what that is?
It's a degenerative eye disease that affects the rods and the cones in the retina. And typically it starts at a very early age. In my case, it did. It was present at birth, and it deteriorates over time.
It's hereditary, is that right?
Yes.
Now, will you ever totally lose your eyesight, or do you still have some light perception?
I have light perception still, And we don't know.
Okay.
The answer to the question.
Well, today, Flo, you are going to put together a fantastic jalapeno bean dip. Is that right?
That's what I'm hoping.
That sounds great. How about if we get started? What kind of stuff goes into a jalapeno bean dip besides jalapenos and beans?
Yeah.
You got a can of dip over there, too?
No. The dip is the end product.
Okay.
I mean, I've made this from scratch with pinto beans, but the easiest way to make this is... You ignore the crying seeing eye dog.
For those of you who are watching us and can't see down beside our little stage counter here, there is a guide dog on each side. You have a guide dog, is that right?
Yes, I do.
And what is your puppy's name?
Her name is Belle.
Belle. And where did you get Belle?
I got Belle in Morristown, New Jersey. From the Seeing Eye School.
And what an honor it is that you have a dog from there.
Yes, I do, although I don't know why she's over here whining.
She's hungry, isn't she? We put the refried beans in the pot here.
Into a pot. Would you like? On a low flame.
On a low flame. Now, here's where it gets tricky for those of you who may not be able to see. I'm going to move this pot just a little bit. We have a gas stove here. Mm-hmm. And if you listen very, very carefully, when I turn this to the start position, you'll hear it click. And then it'll go poof. Mm. And supposedly, if I hold my hand up here, it'll feel warm and I won't get burnt, right?
Yeah, the poof part is the scary part.
Come on. There we go. There it is.
There it's the off. Poof.
Now, if I just kind of hold my hand up here, I'll turn it down till it's a low flame. But that's kind of a nice little way to tell how hot your fire is without getting your fingers burned.
That's pretty much how I do it at home.
I think that's great. Okay, so we got refried beans in there.
In a pot, and we're warming them up slowly, and as they heat up, they will start to smooth and get soft. And as they get soft, there you go. Okay. Thank you very much. As they get soft, we can begin adding the other ingredients.
Okay.
This particular can of refried beans already has the green chilies in it. That makes it taste good.
So now you can kind of tell by the feel and by the smell when it's getting warm enough, right?
Yeah.
I bet you can tell when it's getting burnt, too.
Yes.
That's why we keep it on a nice low flame.
Actually, the thing about this stuff is that if it's cooking too hard and it starts to boil, it'll pop and burn you. Very unpleasant.
Now, we're heating this up. Is it getting close?
Yes.
And these already have chili peppers in it. When you go grocery shopping, do you have somebody help you?
Yes, I certainly do. A lot of people don't, but I do. I have the wonderful fortune of having my sister that goes grocery shopping.
Family is a big help.
Okay, as this begins to smooth, as it is, because it's getting warm now, I will add the salsa.
Have you pre-measured this salsa so you know just about how much you're dumping in there?
No, I don't. Typically, it's about a small jar, maybe a half of a jar per can of refried beans.
Okay.
Typically.
And cans of refried beans are a standard size, I assume?
Yes. Well, they have bigger ones than this, but yeah, there's a standard.
Okay, what else goes into the bean dip?
Chili powder, which
now,
I'm
you're just
adding.
Picking those things up over there. I can tell. How do you know which one is which?
Well, in this particular instance, the chili powder is a larger can. I also have cayenne pepper here, and that is a very small can. Okay. And I don't measure. My cooking style tends to be more by taste.
So you add a little bit, and you take a taste, and when it tastes good to you, that's enough.
Yeah, that's pretty much. I mean, a lot of people don't cook that way, but I do. I tend to cook like that.
Okay, so now we've been putting stuff in. How do you know that you've got it all mixed together properly, that you didn't leave lumps of something in there? You kind of follow a pattern to make sure you cover the whole bowl and you just keep on stirring it, is that it?
Yeah, pretty much. I feel what's in there and how it feels. I don't know.
It's a matter of getting used to the feel of it, right?
Right, right.
Okay, that's very good. Now, we've put in refried beans. We have put in salsa.
Now we'll...
Okay, what do we got next?
I put some chili powder in it. Now we're going to put in a bag of Mexican, three cheese Mexican cheese blend.
It's already pre-shredded?
Yeah.
Now, are you going to put the whole bag in?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be put. I usually put it in little by little.
Okay, so adding it little by little, it stirs in a little bit easier.
Right.
But if you got a big enough pot, you could probably add the whole bag.
Right.
And these are a standard size bag, right?
Yes.
Now, how can you tell when that cheese is all getting melted in there?
The same thing. Just keep stirring it and feeling the consistency of it. It'll be smooth as opposed to lumpy.
Okay. Now, I've noticed that you just add a little bit of stuff and then you stir it and get it back warmed up again. And I imagine you can tell how warm it is because your hand is right over the top of it, right?
Right. Pretty much that's how I cook.
What other little things go in there?
I'm going to add more cheese. I put honey in it and cayenne pepper, and I will be adding that. Here we go. There's the cheese. Okay. And now it's just stirring.
And you can feel when it gets smooth and when there aren't any lumps in it?
Mm-hmm. Well, there'll be lumps in it anyway because of the salsa, but not, yeah, it'd be nice if I was able to actually get the cheese to all melt.
Just a matter of a few minutes, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's almost done. Yeah, I'm going to put honey in it to cut the acidic flavor and a little bit of cayenne pepper to make it a little bit hot.
You know, I like to use honey in cooking, too.
I like the flavor of honey and brown sugar.
Well, I use it a little differently than you do.
Oh, boy.
Oh, honey, would you like to come over and cook this for me?
Somehow I felt that coming.
However, very seriously, though, I do like honey. I have honey in my coffee in the morning. They tell me it's better for your digestive system.
Yes.
You just put something else in there.
I put cayenne pepper in it.
That's really hot, spicy stuff, isn't it?
Is.
So you don't want to add too much
No,
there.
No. Cayenne pepper is a very hot pepper, but it's a very... I'm very much into health and nutrition, and so I like to use honey rather than processed sugar when I need to put in something to cut acid, and so I usually use honey or brown sugar. I like to use cayenne pepper because it's a very, very good... It's like a natural antibiotic in the body.
Cayenne pepper works as an antibiotic? I didn't know that.
Yes,
how interesting. All right, so we've got just about everything in this, and it's all heated up.
Yep.
And what have we spent here, about 5 minutes?
Yeah, it's very quick.
Okay, so we're about done with this.
Yes, it is.
And now I have a plate full of chips over here.
Yeah, usually when I serve this, I put a plate of chips or a big bowl of chips and a smaller bowl of the actual dip in the middle.
Okay, well, we don't have that here today.
I see.
But you know something? I'm going to take one of these chips. I'm going to give one to you.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to take one of these, and I'm going to take a little taste out of here.
Oh, okay.
Because this smells fantastic. And I hope we have plenty left over so our audience is able to have some, too. Flora, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Mm. That's absolutely excellent.
Flora Del Cueto's Jalapeno Bean Dip. Ingredients: 1 can refried beans with green chilies, 1 package shredded cheese, jalapeno jack, 1 small jar medium hot salsa, cumin to taste, hot sauce to taste, 1 teaspoon honey, chili powder to taste, 1 teaspoon brown sugar, Tabasco to taste. Instructions: place contents of refried beans in a saucepan, medium heat. Stir until smooth. Add the jar of salsa. Stir. Add the other ingredients. Fold in the shredded cheese slowly as it melts. Continue stirring. Lower the heat when it begins to bubble. Serve with your favorite tortilla chips. You can serve sour cream on the side.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Celia Chacon, as everyone knows, and I'm joined today by Alan Preston, my esteemed co-host. Alan, can you believe that it's been a whole year since we first started doing Cooking Without Looking?
No, I can't, Celia. You know, we've had such a good time, and we've had such great support from the people necessary to put this whole show together. Mm-hmm. Organizations like the Lighthouse for the Blind of the Palm Beaches and Florida Division of Blind Services, and the Veterans Services for Blinded Veterans.
That's great, but don't forget John Palmer of Magnifying America. He's been one of our biggest supporters.
That's absolutely right, Celia. Now, what are we going to cook today?
Well, today, Alan, I'm going to show how quick and easy it is to make a really nice meal for your family, first starting with making your own homemade refried beans, okay?
Okay.
And they're quick and easy, and 1, 2, 3, and you'll like it all the time. It's for a quick meal, a snack, whatever you'd like.
Quick and easy is my kind of recipe.
All right. What we're going to do is begin with, I've already ahead of time put in like 2 tablespoons of canola oil in our pan, and I'm going to dice a little bit of this onion up.
Now, okay. You're being very careful with that knife. I'm sure our audience remembers that you don't see anything at all, right?
I hope they remember that. So if you see the onion fly somewhere, you know I didn't see it go. Then I'll dice my onion a little bit here. Okay.
I noticed how that onion was cut in half first. And
yes, that's
important.
That's important because we don't want things rolling around because the risk of cutting yourself are much greater than not if you don't have it flat. That I do with carrots, tomatoes, onions, you know. Then I'll just scoop up some of these onions.
You're scooping that up on the blade of the knife, the side of the blade of the knife.
Against
the blade
of the knife.
So that's what, about a medium-sized knife?
Yeah.
Oh, I can hear that
okay.
sizzling
you
in
hear
the
that
oil
sizzling
all
away?
In.
Alan, would you like to open the containers for me where I brought my slow-cooked beans from the home?
Certainly.
Okay, because in a few minutes what we're going to do next. And see, I always put my knife away from me, the blade, because that's very important, okay?
All right.
Now, I'll move these around just a little bit, my onions. We just want them a little bit softer. Could you start pouring in the beans?
All right, now there's liquid on these beans too, right?
That's quite all right.
Okay.
What we're
going
to do...
And how do I know how much to pour in?
The whole thing.
The whole thing?
The whole enchilada.
Okay. No,
the whole
know.
Beans.
The enchilada we're having for dinner. No, I've got it,
okay.
I think.
Yeah.
I'm pretty
like
sure I got the whole thing in there.
Now the potato masher, we're going to do bean mashing. And then we mash, mash, mash away.
Now, I notice that you're holding on to the side of that pot so it doesn't get
away from
you.
Well, I don't want you to wear it. Well, I don't want you to wear it. I want it to flip when I'm doing it at one end or the other. And what I do is I just mash it away. And what I like to do, after I've mashed my beans, then I bring up the heat a little bit more. And they kind of bubble up so that all of the liquid is more or less evaporated to the point where these become spreadable.
Sort of like a peanut butter consistency.
Almost, like a thick peanut butter, yeah. Other times at home, what I do, the way I grew up doing it, is I use chorizo, Mexican sausage, when I put in the onion to saute a little bit, and I'll cook down a little bit of the Mexican sausage, then I'll put my beans in, mash them like we're doing now, and that's one of the favorite ways at home that my family likes their tostadas. My next step I want to do here, after I've done my onion, we have pico de gallo that I made too, which is fresh salsa.
The pico...
Pico de gallo.
Pico de gallo?
Okay, yes, that's what it's called, okay?
And that's this first bowl right here, yes.
Yeah, I believe so, if you want to show it there.
Mm.
Okay, and that's basically diced up onions, tomatoes, cilantro that I have chiffonade or ripped apart in tiny pieces,
cilantro,
as well as jalapenos.
Is cilantro a spice?
It's an herb.
An herb. Mm-hmm.
But then if you don't mind, in our bowl to your left, we have a lime. We're going to cut that in half. And we're going to add that to the pico de gallo. And I've already rolled it on my counter to get all the juices going and flowing. If you don't want to do that, put it in the microwave for 10 seconds. Okay?
And that will will free up the juices in there.
Yes. You see the way I'm cutting the lime with my hand over the lime and the knife is underneath in between? That's for safety. Okay, Alan. Here you go. Here's half of the lime.
Okay, and you want me to squeeze
it over the bowl? No, not in the refried beans.
Whoops, okay.
In the pico de gallo. And then we're going to add...
Gallo.
Oh, that lime smells really good.
It does, doesn't it?
Oh, for smell-o-vision, that'd be great. All right, while you do that, mm-hmm. I'm going to measure in my hand approximately about a teaspoon of salt. There we go.
Now, I've heard some people will put a piece of cloth or something over the lime when they squeeze it so that it doesn't escape. Is that a good idea?
Well, so that the seeds don't escape.
Is that it?
But
okay.
I normally take the lime and run it through my fingers and let the juices run through there into the bowl.
Okay.
That way you catch the seed.
Okay. Well, I just kind of squeezed it to keep all my fingers and stuff off of the juice.
Well, just give this a quick stir. Would you like to taste?
Mm. Oh, that's just a salsa. Certainly
This is a salsa.
Sure.
Now, the other thing is for people who don't like it very spicy... I add for them a little tomato sauce to bring it down.
That takes out the sharpness.
Yeah, and the salt I put in not only for flavor, but it takes some of the bite away from it too.
Okay.
That acidity. We'll break a tostada shell for you. Would you like to try it?
Sure. Got it.
Okay. All right. Alan's our tester, our guinea pig.
Does that mean if I survive, the whole audience is going to want some?
I hope so.
Mmm.
Good?
That is really good.
Oh, good. I'm glad you liked it. Okay, and here we have our tostada shell, which you can buy this at the store already pre-made. Or at home, what I like to do is take a fresh tortilla, spray it with some vegetable spray or canola spray like I like to do, both sides. Then I put it in the oven. I bake it for just a few minutes till it gets nice and crispy. And then I take that once it's done and cooled, and I'll take my refried beans, and I'll smear them on here as such. We can be a little more generous, but... And then I myself personally don't like anything else on it besides the lettuce, tomato, onion, and some pico de gallo and shredded lettuce. But we, for our guests here today, we used shredded chicken that I pre-cooked also.
Okay. Now, you say you can buy this chicken already shredded?
No. Buy it already cooked. And I don't know if you could buy shredded. Okay. But I know that you can buy the chicken, take it apart, and shred it, you know, into the size pieces that you want.
Sergio, let's go and enjoy some of this.
Thank you.
Celia's tempting tostadas. First, prepare homemade refried beans. Saute half a diced onion in a tablespoon of oil. Mix in a half cup of chopped chorizo. This is optional. Pour in 15-ounce can of brown beans. Mash until smooth over medium-low heat. Cook until the liquid is evaporated. Spread the bean mixture over a tostada shell. Top with the shredded meat of your choice, including chicken, beef, pork, turkey, or shrimp. Place shredded lettuce, diced onions, and tomatoes on the next layer. Top with sliced pickled jalapenos, sour cream, cheese, pico de gallo, and/or guacamole. Tostadas are great as a snack or as a meal with a side of rice.
Food for Thought over the past year has given hope to millions of people around the country who are blind or visually impaired. Today, I'm very happy to introduce three special guests who are on the forefront of fighting a very rare eye disease with stem cell transplants. Welcome to Paige Farrell, Jill Nurby, and her son Michael. How y'all doing today? I have to say y'all because you're from Tennessee.
Yes.
And I just wanted to start out with Paige today about this rare eye disease of aniridia. Paige, can you please tell us what aniridia is?
Aniridia is an eye disease that affects people from birth. Some people have sporadic aniridia and others have genetic aniridia. It is an eye disease, which means that there's a lack of irises in usually one or both eyes.
It sounds like a very complicated disease. And how did you know you had it? You said you're born with it, so you obviously didn't really know till later in life, but how did they diagnose you?
They diagnose you because an aniridia patient, the inner structure of their eye has not fully developed. And when an eye doctor looks into the eye of an aniridic patient, they don't have an iris, usually, in their eyes.
So let's turn our attention now to Jill Nurby and her son, Michael. Very interesting to note that both of them have aniridia. But even equally important is Jill is the founder and the president of the U.S. Network for Aniridia. And who better to give us some foster some understanding about this rare condition? I'd like to ask you, Jill, about this condition as far as it being rare, but yet, you know, if one person has it, it's one too many. How many people in the U.S. have aniridia?
The latest figures was one in 50,000 births being affected. Aniridia has never really been studied before, and the USA Aniridia Network is the first time that we have brought people together with aniridia, so we're hoping to update those records and see if those still hold true. Obviously, Paige and I were sporadic, meaning our parents did not have it. Sporadic cases start a familial inheritance where each pregnancy, there's a 50% chance of having a child like my son, Michael.
That's definitely something you have to think about always in your future. How did having a stem cell transplant help restore your sight, Jill?
Well, basically, aniridics don't have working stem cells because they're located in the area where your iris is supposed to be. And when you run out of cornea cells, you have no other cells making new cornea ones. So we have scar tissue growing into that area. And my scar tissue, because there was no treatment developed, got thicker and thicker. So I could not see somebody sitting this close to me. My vision has always been low vision since birth. However, after the corneal scarring started, it was like counting fingers. I couldn't even see the eye chart. When I got the stem cells and they pulled the scar tissue off, it restored my vision to my best possible vision that I've had during earlier in life.
As well as you opened up a whole new world for people to know about aniridia. It's very interesting to note that you're the founder of the Aniridia Network. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, out of frustration, lack of information, lack of support, I figured as I was going through these transplants, which, by the way, are from cadaver donations after somebody passes away and they donate their eyes and their tissues, which is very important for people to think about being donors. I figured that if I could get my sight back, and not many people knew about it, I needed to educate the public, educate the other people with aniridia, provide support, and do a push for more medical research. So I started the network.
Excellent, excellent. And one element, one important element of aniridia is that it is genetic. On the downside, I mean, you passed it on to your son, which could be heartbreaking when you think about it. But a more positive note, your son just had surgery, a stem cell transplant surgery. And let's find out how he's doing.
You know, they were watching me very close. Since they caught it right away, it hasn't increased my vision that much, but I didn't lose very much vision.
It's very interesting to note also that, you know, since this is present at birth, do they do a mandatory screening at birth?
Actually, the pediatricians don't know too much about it. I mean, up until just a couple years ago, it was like aniridia in the dictionary was lack of iris, and that's all they said. They didn't mention the associated conditions like glaucoma, nystagmus.
It's big. All three of you have a terrific attitude about this. And Jill, what would you like to add? Do you want us to know, is there a website that people out there can go to find out some more information?
Yes. Our website is www.aniridia.net, and aniridia spelled A-N-I-R-I-D-I-A.
Thank you for being here. We really appreciate all the good work you're doing. And thank you, everybody else out there. We need you, too. Thank you for joining us on Cooking Without Looking. And on behalf of Alan, Celia, and myself, or as we like to call ourselves, the I-Team, keep on cooking and staying safe in the kitchen. Goodbye for now.
For recipes and information from today's show, please call Vision World Foundation toll-free at 888-290-7005. Cooking Without Looking. Creator, executive producer, Renee Rentmeester. Vision World Foundation founder, Renee Rentmeester. Producer, Sylvia Troy. Associate producer, Celia Chacon. Hosts, Celia Chacon, Alan Preston, Annette Watkins. Cooking Without Looking is underwritten by Magnifying America, featuring Max TV glasses. Distant spectacles for watching television designed especially for the legally blind and visually impaired. Magnifying America, distributors of Max TV glasses and other empowering machines for blind or low vision people. 1-800-364-1608.
My eyes started to get blurry. I almost hit another car and I immediately pulled over. If you're losing your eyesight, lose your keys, but not your dignity.
Please call Vision World Foundation toll-free at 888-290-7005. This program was a presentation of WXEL, West Palm Beach, Florida.
You've been listening to Cooking Without Looking on ACB Radio Mainstream. Join us again next week, same time, same place, for more interesting recipes and meet some more interesting folks who don't need to look while they cook. ACB Radio is grateful to Renee Rentmeester, producer of Cooking Without Looking, for allowing us to use this audio. If you would like information and strategies for contacting your own local public television station to request that they air upcoming seasons of Cooking Without Looking, give Renee Rentmeester a call. Her telephone number is 888-290-7005.